This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The European Union has put forward a plan to bypass U.S. sanctions on Iran. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes. Good morning. The EU is setting up a payment system that will allow businesses to continue trading with Iran after US sanctions are reintroduced. Under the American sanctions, any bank that facilitates trading with Tehran will be cut off from the US financial system. But the EU's foreign policy chief, Federica Mogherini, says the bloc is determined to develop mechanisms that will allow trading to continue.
The participants welcomed practical proposals to maintain and develop payment channels, notably the initiative to establish a special purpose vehicle to facilitate payments related to Iran's exports, including oil and imports, which will assist and reassure economic operators pursuing legitimate business with Iran.
Under the plan, Iranian oil would be exchanged for European goods without money changing hands. Some diplomats have expressed doubts about the payment system working. Pascal Lamy, a former Director General of the World Trade Organization, has this view.
For reasons of principle, we do not agree that a country is right to impose, depending on its own decisions, without any bilateral or multilateral agreement, its own policy on foreign agents. We don't have a currency that is as big as the dollar, as we all know, but we have a market which is larger than the US market. So we have, if we want to go nasty with some, let's say, American companies, because the American authorities go nasty with some of our companies, in theory, we could do that.
Pascal Lamy. Let's do the numbers. It's a mixed picture in Asia, where stocks have been dampened because US tariffs against China have kicked in. Japan's Nikkei, however, bucked the trend and closed higher, buoyed by a weaker yen. In London, the FTSE maintains its opening high thanks to a surge in crude oil prices, which have hit a four-year high at over $80 a barrel. A 48-hour general strike has started in Argentina. People are protesting huge cuts in public spending, which the government agreed to in exchange for a $50 billion loan from the International Monetary Fund. The BBC's Daniel Pardo reports from Buenos Aires.
It feels like a public holiday today in Buenos Aires. Banks, public transport and many stores are closed only because there's a general strike due to the economic crisis. Wages are not keeping up with inflation, expected to be running at 40% by the end of this year. The government of Mauricio Macri came into power in 2015 with the idea of liberalizing the country, making Argentina normal again, but opening up the economy in a time of global financial uncertainty and high interest rates seemed like a wrong strategy. Macri had to ask the IMF for a loan to help him pay for the country's bills. But even if Argentina does pay his debt, the country faces higher unemployment, recession, and more inflation.
Daniel Pardo. India has rolled out a multi-billion dollar health insurance program that will provide cover for almost half of its population. The scheme, popularly known as ModiCare after Prime Minister Narendra Modi, comes ahead of the country's general elections next year. But are India's hospitals ready for such an ambitious project? The BBC's Davina Gupta finds out.
I'm on a bed.
Little Aman calls out to his one-month-old sister. Her name is Karishma, but she's now known as India's Ayushman baby, named after India's health insurance policy, which means a blessing for a long life. Her mother Pushpa became the first beneficiary of India's new national healthcare insurance scheme. Sitting outside her home, she tells me how the government covered the cost of delivering the baby at a hospital.
When my first child was born, we spent almost $2,000 for my surgery. But this time before the childbirth, I filled a form for this insurance scheme and we didn't have to pay at the hospital for the same procedure.
Surviving childbirth is still a challenge for many women in rural India, where on average a doctor caters to nearly 11,000 patients. That's 11 times more than the ratio recommended by the World Health Organization.
Yeah, ambitious is the right word because...
Indu Bhushan, the man tasked with the implementation of this policy, explains to me exactly how it is meant to plug this gap.
500 million people would mean population of Canada, US and Mexico put together. And we are covering all these 500 million people, actually 100 million families, for 5 lakh rupees, which is close to about $7,000.
So once the new policy is launched, can India's government-run hospitals cope up with the millions who will rush here for medical treatment? 33-year-old Dr. Dhaval Haria is an eye surgeon in India's western city of Mumbai. He tells me that private hospitals like his could be a solution, but surgery rates outlined in the policy are too low for them to join now.
As a private practitioner, we not only bear the cost of the consumables during surgery, we also bear the cost of equipments, we bear the cost of that equipment maintenance, upgradation, human resources management, rent of your premises, and all that put together, the current packages offered currently are not really sustainable for a long run.
Back in the village in northern India, Pushpa is busy sewing clothes for her newborn. For her, this new insurance policy has been a stitch in time in India's ailing healthcare system, which has blessed her with a baby girl.
Newborn.
The BBC's Davina Gupta with that report from India. In London, I'm Vivian Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.